The Bob Hope Show. And now, here is Bob Hope.
Thank you very, very much, ladies and gentlemen. Well, this is Kentucky week in a big way. Saturday is Kentucky Derby Day in Louisville. And I'll be at the Derby or my middle name isn't Sucker. Of course, you know why they call it the Derby. By the time you're through betting, that's all you have to wear home. I flew to Louisville for the Derby last year, and what crowds. I didn't realize how tough it was to get a hotel room until just before the race, when those 50,000 people all stood up and sang My Old Kentucky Tent. Which, of course, whether you win or lose is mostly a matter of luck. My horse got a bad break in the big race. Just as he was coming out of the starting gate, he tripped on the cord to his hearing aid. I won't say what time my horse finished, but as they crossed the finish line, my jockey was leaning over the horse's ear and crooning, "Don't let the stars get in your eyes." But it's wonderful to watch a race at Churchill Downs. You sit there with a mint julep and watch your horse run. Then you look down at your mint julep and it's almost as green as you are. But anyway, here it is, graduation time, ladies and gentlemen. Seeing all those square hats reminds me. When does Crosby get back from Europe? Do you know? I'd be a college graduate myself, only I quit a month too soon. If I just kept going 4 more weeks, I'd have finished kindergarten and the rest would have been easy. I was a kindergarten teacher's favorite pupil. She liked having me in her class. It gave someone her own age to talk to. But there was quite a scene on the day of my class graduation. Mother and Dad were there crying their eyes out. But the principal still wouldn't give me a diploma. At the graduation exercises, they introduced me as the boy who would go far in life. Then, just to make sure, they took up a collection and bought me a railroad ticket. And right after graduation, my dad took me aside for a little advice, so I gave it to him. But I feel great tonight. I spent last Sunday at the beach. There must have been 50,000 people down at the beach. To show you how crowded it was, I was giving myself a pedicure, and I was doing the fifth foot before I noticed anything was wrong. I think I made a mistake buying a pair of flesh-colored bathing trunks. They fit me fine, but people keep running up and wrapping blankets around me. And have any of you folks been at the beach this year? Two-piece bathing suits are all the rage this season, but they're really not two-piece suits, just one piece and an IOU. Anyway, all I know is that on the first day at the beach, one of the girls walked by me and melted my sunglasses. I had a few words with Phil Harris at the beach. Mine were say when, and his were none of that chicken stuff. Just keep pouring. And if the bunch of kids is listening that buried me in the sand and then piled rocks on me, I want to say thanks for coming back and digging me up again. For the first 2 days, I was worried. While I was at the beach Sunday, I wanted to get in the beauty contest for men, so I told the official in charge, "Everyone says I'm built like a high school kid." He said, "That must have been a long time ago. Now you're built more like a high school."
Oh, yes.
You were good considering the amount of rehearsal you gave it.
Snitcher. That's what I like about you. I never knew a guy who could have such a big smile on his face while he was dropping his own option. But for your information, I was late for rehearsal because I happen to be very busy right now. I'm starting a new picture.
Oh, you are? Is this another picture where you're a great lover?
That's right.
They never give up, do they?
You've got your knife out. I should have worn my puncture-proof shoulder blades tonight. Why the sneering section?
Well, you started it, Bob. During rehearsal, you told Margaret Whiting that I was a zombie.
That's not true.
It isn't?
No, I didn't say you were a zombie. All I said was that you were in the House of Wax before they made it into a picture.
Anyway, regardless of your opinion, I think I'll be pretty good as Mr. Casanova. With my experience, I can't miss.
Yeah, since when did you become an authority on love?
Since last week.
Last week? What happened then?
Somebody cut down the tree between my house and Zsa Zsa Gabor.
By the way...
I've been living.
Hey, don't forget to return my axe.
Yeah. I've been having a rough week just getting ready to make this picture.
Really?
Yeah. You'd be surprised how they go into details. For instance, the other morning, I got a call to go in and see the executive producer in his office, so I hurried right over.
Bob, I called you in because we're up against some peculiar problems with this picture.
What do you mean, peculiar problems?
Well, the script calls for the leading man to wear long silk tights. So he must have good legs and an attractive physique.
Oh, don't worry about that. My physique got me my first job out here.
Really? What was that?
At the May Company. I used to stroll around in the men's department modeling long underwear.
Now, there's a job that required brains.
Yes, yes. I had to have all my buttons. You're so...
Now, as I was saying, Bob, we...
You sent for me?
Oh, yes. Come in, Henry. Bob, I want to make sure you're the right man for this part, so our wardrobe man here is going to measure you.
Okay, go right ahead, Sam.
I mean without your clothes. Would you mind stripping down to your shorts?
Down to my shorts? Okay. All right, there's my coat and my shirt, and now my pants. I'm ready.
Those are shorts?
Yes.
Would you mind rolling them up so we can see your knees?
Well, at the surplus store, they don't always have your exact size, you know. I like them this length. When I tuck them in my shoes, I look like a paratrooper.
Just extend your arm so I can measure it.
Okay.
I haven't heard your show lately, Mr. Hope. Who are you working for?
What quivers and trembles and shakes all the time?
I've already measured that. Who are you working for?
Please, just work with one needle at a time, if you don't mind.
Gee, Bob, I don't know what to say. This whole thing has been quite a surprise to
me. Well, don't judge me by the way I am now. If I go to a gymnasium, I can build myself up before the picture starts.
Well, I'm still not sure. Henry, do you think we ought to put Bob in long silk tights?
Well, if we do, we can save some money.
How?
Well, he can use the same one Shirley Temple wore in The Little Colonel.
Well, you heard him, Bob. I'm sorry, but
that's... Look, don't make any hasty decisions. I can get in shape in time for the picture. I'll build myself up.
How?
Well, exercise. I'll go down to the gymnasium and start working out right now. See you later. Hey, now, Joe, what do you think I should start with?
Well, you better start with something real easy, Mr. Hope. Pick up that 20-pound barbell and hold it over your head.
Okay. There. I've got it up over my head.
Now lower it down to the floor again.
Okay.
Gee, Mr. Hope, you're not very limber.
I am now.
You just keep doing that for a while. I'll check you later.
All right. Gee, that guy punching the bag over there looks familiar. Why, it's Victor Mature. Hey, hi, Vic.
Hello, Bob.
Hey, what do you do, Vic? Work out here every day?
Yeah, I like to keep fit.
Well, you certainly look it, Vic. As a matter of fact, people say you and I are built a great deal alike.
They do?
Yeah. What I hate, a guest star with muscles.
Say, Bob, I don't see you down here at the gym very often. What are you doing down here?
Well, I have to build myself up, Vic. In my next picture, I play some of my scenes bare-chested.
You're going to appear bare-chested? With that chest?
Yeah.
What's the name of the picture? Death Valley Days?
Don't let appearances fool you. I used to be quite an athlete. I even did a little boxing.
Yes, I see your sweatshirt says Golden Glove Champion 1935.
Yeah, I used to be pretty good, too. In fact, to win the title, I decisioned Rocky Marciano.
Rocky Marciano? Why, 1935, he must have been about 6 years old.
Yeah, that's how I won. After he knocked me out, he was disqualified for being underage.
You know, it pays to keep yourself in shape, Bob.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I know that. My new picture calls for a virile, muscular leading man.
Sure, that's important. A real he-man can have a tremendous effect on the women in the audience. For instance, right here in Los Angeles, do you know what happened the first time they showed John Wayne's chest on a widescreen?
What happened?
The YWCA fell down.
But seriously, Vic, I'm a little worried about working in this picture. Do you think I can get myself in condition in time?
Well, let's see. Flex your muscles, Bob. Let me have a look at you.
There. What do you think?
Well, you're certainly no John Wayne.
I guess not.
And you're no Kirk Douglas or Robert Taylor.
No.
Or Marlon Brando.
No.
Or Stuart Granger. Or Van Heflin.
Yeah, that's enough. See you later, Vic.
Where are you going?
Out and beat up Pinky Lee. I'll handle him. Here's Margaret Whiting, ably assisted by Les Brown and his gypsies, doing I'm Walking Behind You.
I'm walking behind you on your wedding day, and I'll hear you promise to love and obey. Though you may forget me, you're still on my mind. Look over your shoulder, I'm walking behind. Maybe I'll kiss again with a love that's new, but I shall wish again I was kissing you, 'cause I'll always love you wherever you go. And though we are parted, I want you, that if things go wrong, dear, and fate is unkind, look over your shoulder, I'm walking go wrong, dear, and fate is unkind, look over your shoulder, I'm walking.
Now shall we return to Bob Hope and Victor Mature at the gymnasium. They've had a workout. We now find them in the steam room.
Oh, boy, this sure feels good.
It sure does, Bob.
Hey, what's that hissing noise?
That's the steam.
For a minute, I thought it was the audience.
Well, man, it's really hot in here.
It's not hot in here. The next room is even hotter, Vic. They got 6 steam jets going in there.
No kidding. How warm is it in there?
All I know is the attendant carries a pitchfork.
it's nice to hear your relatives are working.
Just read what's here. Don't write things in.
Say, I've had about enough of this. I'm done on one side.
So am I. Cooked to a turn.
How long do you have to stay in here?
Till you're approved by Duncan Hines. How do you feel, Bob?
Oh, great. To get cooled off, I'll have to gargle with Tabasco sauce.
Yeah, but this heat is wonderful. You know, you'd be surprised what it can do for people.
Yeah, I know. Gabby Hayes comes in here all the time to steam the sparrows out of his beard.
Gabby Hayes?
Yeah, you know, the tumbleweed Clifton Webb. Gee, Vic. I'm beginning to feel great, you know. I wonder who started this steam bath business anyway.
The Romans, Bob, about 2,000 years ago. They had a tremendous sunken pool made of pink marble. And the lord of the palace would take a bath in it with 40 or 50 of his wives.
Gee. Oh, I'd like to have lived in those days.
You would like to be a lord of a palace?
I'd be satisfied just to be the lifeguard. Hey, say, Vic, those Romans really chopped up the world, didn't they?
They sure did, Bob. They made a lot of history.
If you ever appear on my radio show, maybe we'll do a sketch about the Romans.
A sketch? How would it go?
Well, something like this.
Two 2,000 years ago, the legions of Imperial Rome had conquered most of the civilized world. And ruling this vast territory with an iron hand was Caesar Tiberius, second Roman emperor. Our story begins in the year 10 BC. The Romans have swept through Egypt. And now return to the imperial city. Among their prisoners, they have brought a young Egyptian prince. Hail Tiberius! Here is the captive we bring you in chains from far off Egypt. Kneel, Egyptian dog!
Speak, Egyptian.
Sire, they have brought me here from my homeland across the burning desert without water. My tongue is hanging out of my mouth all the way to the floor. Do something, please.
There's no water here.
In that case, you'd better lend me a safety pin. I'll just tuck it in a bit.
What is your name, Egyptian?
My name is Robertus, sire, but in Egypt I was known by another name.
What was it?
They called me Madman Muncio, the used camel dealer.
Used camel dealer?
Yes, my lord, and I can give you a good deal. I have a camel right now that was only driven Sundays by an old maid slave. It's guaranteed. And there are brand new seat covers on the hump.
So you claim to be a prince of Egypt?
Yes, sire. I am of noble ancestry.
Noble ancestry, indeed. Those leering eyes, that misshapen skull. I can imagine your noble ancestor swinging from a tree by his tail.
That's the Crosby branch of the family.
Quiet, slave. You're in the presence of Tiberius, emperor of Rome, conqueror of Britain, conqueror of Greece, conqueror of Troy.
Well said. My legions are invincible. My archers are well trained, and I maintain the greatest number of catapults of any nation.
That's what I keep telling them in Washington. Don't cut the Air Force.
What can you tell me of Egypt, Robertus?
Oh, it's a fine country, sire. We have built pyramids in Egypt.
These pyramids of yours, they interest me. What purpose do you put them to?
Well, they are shrines to our forefathers, and in them we bury gold, silver, precious stones, and money.
And pray, who designed these vaults?
A man named Jack Benius.
And do you build roads as we Romans do?
Yes, my lord. We have a road in Egypt that we have been building for 1,000 years.
What do you call this road?
A freeway. Please, your majesty, you must release me.
Hail Tiberius.
Ah, the beautiful Messina. my favorite. Approaches.
What have we here, Tiberius?
An Egyptian prince, my dear. He was captured near Alexandria and brought here in chains.
But look at him. He's so ragged. His clothes are in tatters. He has no shoes.
We came by way of Hollywood Park.
Egyptian, have you ever seen a woman of such beauty?
Just once. I peeked into King Farouk's freezer.
Boy, and I thought the pyramids were stacked.
I'm bored with this Egyptian. Take him away.
Wait. I find him fascinating. Come closer, Egyptian.
Yes, milady.
Closer. Now look into my eyes.
Yes. Yes.
That's enough. Your heavy breathing is pulling the drapes off the walls.
Our Egyptian prince seems a bit shy, Tiberius. Have you never been this close to a woman?
Well, in Egypt, the most gorgeous creatures throw themselves at me. Women of beautiful face and figure with willing lips. But I have nothing to do with them.
Why not?
Besides being a prince, I'm also the village idiot.
I'm displeased. Claudius.
Yes, master.
Take this Egyptian dog to the cellars beneath the Colosseum. Confine him there until tomorrow. And then feed him to the lions.
Yes, your majesty.
Jailer! Jailer!
What is it, Egyptian?
Look, set me free, jailer, and I'll see to it that you are given money.
No.
You shall have a house of your own and servants.
No.
Hundreds of beautiful girls to throw themselves at your feet.
No.
Why not?
Besides being a jailer, I'm also the village idiot.
Robertus.
Yes?
Robertus.
It's Messina.
I've come to say goodbye. I have but 1 minute. Kiss me, Egyptian.
Come closer.
Well, did you like it?
I think so. I've got goose pimples, the king size with filler tips. Messina, you've got to get me out of here.
Well, I would save you if I could, but it's impossible.
What do you mean?
Well, even now the Colosseum is filled with Romans. They've come to watch the lions tear you to pieces.
No.
Listen.
Well, Messina, it's too bad it has to end this way.
Ah, Messina, this is how you betray my trust, sneaking off with this Egyptian. Guards.
Yes, sire.
I'll show you how Tiberius punishes infidelity. Guards, throw them both to the lions.
Both of us? Oh, the sacrifice of one human being should be enough for you. Please, don't throw both of us to the lions. Throw her.
The lions are waiting on the other side of that door. Shove them through, guards.
The lions!
They're coming right at us.
Quick, both of you, follow me this way.
Looks like an MGM picture.
Through this door. Now through this tunnel. This is the waterfront. You may take this boat back to your native land. You're safe. Goodbye.
Oh, thanks a lot. Gee, wasn't he wonderful? He saved us from 1,000 ferocious lions, 10,000 gladiators, and a coliseum full of bloodthirsty spectators.
Who was that man?
Who else could it be? A village idiot. Who else?
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
And that was the Bob Hope Show from May 1954. with Victor Mature as his special guest.